Pickaxe.
Hello, I'm Wheels, the Dungeon Master for Storybreakers. Love Critical Role in movies like Hot Fuzz and Spotlight? Actual play series Storybreakers combines the fantasy adventure of Dungeons & Dragons with small-town comedy and mystery in an episodic tale of journalists on the hunt for the secret underbelly of a tiny town where nothing seems to happen.
But excuse me if I don't think a bunch of ragtag journalists from a podunk town are actually going to be of any help.
But technically, I don't come from here.
When the mysterious arrival of a celebrity from the Heroes and Adventurers Guild sets off a strange conspiracy, the group will have to leave what they think they know about the world at the door if they're ever to unravel the truth at the heart of this seemingly nondescript town.
It's not front page of the Sasai Star. No.
I pull up the today's like installment of the news to see what the front page actually is.
There's a big picture of a pumpkin that's been stepped on, and it says, "Outrage as pumpkin stepped on."
Storybreaker Season 1 in its entirety is available for listening right now wherever you get your podcasts, with Season 2 on the way. Find out more at dicebreaker.com.
Hello everyone!
Hello!
And welcome to Kirsty and Bryony's Comfort Zone.
I'm Kirsty.
And I am Bryony.
Oh my
and
god.
Today, like no other day before, we are going to listen to dreams.
What? Oh my
try
god.
Try and work out what is going on.
What
inside
is going on?
The dream.
We don't know what is going on yet, honestly. It's been a while.
Yeah, this is episode 70. You would have thought by now we might have figured it out, but But no.
Not quite.
We've stuck at it for the content.
Content!
I completely forgot to mention last time that that was episode 69.
It's okay, I added a little note at the end. Hopefully Sam left that in. But we'll find out, I guess.
But I had this little, like, I had a plan for the introduction I was going to do and everything, and then on the day I just completely forgot because it wasn't our normal recording day, and it... That was enough to throw me right off.
We're trying to catch up, ready for December, because December's going to be busy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very busy month. So we have
to,
like...
We need to have, like, double dreams. We have to sleep twice as much.
Okay, yeah, I can do that. Oh my god, speaking of which, I had my raid in Final Fantasy last night. And
yeah.
I often have a little cheeky nap before the raid, but I haven't done that in a bit. Since I started my meds, I've not really been napping, which has been pretty good. But I nipped to the shop to get like a bottle of wine because I was just like, oh, I'm in the mood for a little glass of wine. And then, I went to the shop at 6:45. The raid started at 7. I arrived back at exactly 7 and I logged on straight away. And as soon as I joined the party, they were like, "She'll never know. Don't say anything." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And they were like, "Nothing. We just thought you might have been asleep." I was like, "How dare you?" "How dare you?" No, I went to get wine. I have I have a reputation now for just sleeping all the damn time.
Sleepy lady.
I can't stop.
The Kirsty is eepy.
Eepy and eepy to sleepy.
I do that thing where I would say that I'm an honest person. I don't normally tell fibs. But the one thing that I will lie about every time without meaning to is if ever anyone calls me and they wake me up and they say, "Did I wake you up?" I'll be like, no. I don't know why. It's just like the only thing that I'll have this real gut instinct of like, no. I don't know if it comes from like teenage years or something.
Yeah, probably. Well, that's the thing. Like, nobody really calls me. I don't get phone calls from people other than my mum. And I would be like that with her. Like, if she was like, "Did I wake you up? Are you still in bed?" I'd be like, "No. I am, yeah. It's 1 p.m. I'm still in bed." I'm not saying that though. But if anybody else was to ring me in the morning, I'd just be like, "Yeah.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, up. You are. I'm in bed. I'm so cozy.
You got me."
I'm going to start randomly calling you now.
Oh my god, nice.
See if I can catch you out.
A success.
They caught me napping.
They caught me napping. You're definitely going to catch me napping.
I was watching this TikTok earlier. I wonder if I can find it. It was basically, it was this word. Was it like snowdling or something? There was this, it was a word TikTok where they teach you, it's just, you know, they'd be like, the word of the day is blah, blah, blah. And it was a word for staying in bed being snuggly.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's a good word. And then I forgot it. So.
A word for being in bed being cozy.
I wonder, it began with like an SN. But I can't, it wasn't like snuggly or something. It was a word I hadn't heard before. But it was, yeah, I was like, ooh,
there's a,
that sounds nice.
There's a Danish and Norwegian word that describes a cozy, contented mood evoked by comfort and conviviality. But that's not the one you were after. But it's a new word that I've just discovered.
Oh, it's not like, what is the, I don't know, how do you say it? Like hygge?
Hygge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that.
That took the world by storm a couple of years ago. All of a sudden, everyone was about like that. You'd see just like coffee table books that were about, they'd just be called like hygge. I don't, how do you actually say it?
I don't know. The thing is, Wikipedia,
I'm going to look it up.
Wikipedia always has like the pronunciation next to the word. But the way that they write it, it's like, I don't know what that says. Like, it's like H, Y in brackets, O-O dash G, upside down E. How do I say that? Hygge.
Phonetically, it looks like hygge. But I'm gonna play this. Will my mic pick this up?
Hygge.
Pick that up?
Hygge. Yeah. Hygge.
There you go.
Hygge. Like a hug.
Hygge. Like, it is like a hug.
The Swedish adjective, I'm going to say this horribly wrong. It's spelled M-Y-S-I-G, describes a pleasant and warm atmosphere of togetherness in a pleasant setting. Ah,
ah.
And there's a Dutch word, gezellig, which is similar to hygge.
Hygge.
And the German, gemütlichkeit. The state of warm friendliness and belonging.
Aww. Wait, I've got the Swedish one here. I'll play this. Music.
Music.
There you go.
When I went to Sweden, I was like, we need to have fika. Fika, which is going out for coffee and a cake with a friend.
Ah,
which is,
see,
so
at first
nice.
I thought you were saying flicka, which is the Swedish for girl. I was just like,
you need to have girl. We need to have girl.
I'm in Sweden. I'm on girl duty now.
Yeah, like I think it's just flicka, but it's just a nice thing. It's just going and having a lovely time with a friend and having a cake and a coffee. And I love that. It's so nice.
I feel like we need to, like, because obviously back in the day, all of our, like, I was talking about this this morning, how someone described English as like three languages in a trench coat. Because essentially it's like Germanic, Latin and Greek all sort of mushed in. Obviously we've picked up like French words along the way, but I guess they have the same sort of like daddy languages, but it's like, I feel like we don't pick up words like we did back in the good old days of invasions. So I feel like we need to do that a bit more, because there are so many words like when we have words like in German, I think there's a word that, like, I've forgotten the name of it now, but it's like the feeling of just after it's rained and stuff like that. And I'm like, we don't have these sort of really nice, descriptive, like emotional words.
Very
that a lot
specific
of languages
words.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
and things like, I guess there are words that we, like Schadenfreude, like we're still the occasional little word, but I think we should steal more. Very British opinion.
Let's just make some up.
Yeah.
Let's be like Volo in Baldur's Gate or Volo in D&D in general. Just make up words.
Yeah.
Yeah, just make them up.
It's just frustrating how there are so many like lovely like Hygge and like all these like cozy lovely words, and then the words that we add to the dictionary every year, it's like, what have we added now? We've added YOLO or Megalol or something, and I'm just like, why are we at like Menti B?
Menti B.
Why are we adding these things when there's such like other better words we could find?
Oh my god.
Oh dear.
I've just googled some untranslatable words from around the world.
Ooh.
Let's have a look. So there's an Indonesian word. It's just spelt Jesus. Jesus. Well, I don't know how you say it, but I'm just imagining Jesus. It's an unfunny joke that's told so badly that you actually laugh. I imagine you laugh and then you go, Jesus.
Jesus.
And there's a Japanese word, Kyoikumama. Hang on. Kyoiku mama. Yeah. A mother who pushes her children to achieve academically.
Oh. Well, there you go.
There's a Czech word for ringing somebody's phone once so that they call you back. I love that.
Just like me.
Aww.
Also, sometimes I'll just do that, like, accidentally.
There's an Italian word for the groggy, sleepy, happy feeling you get after a large meal. Food coma is what I call it. But labio occhio. That's it.
Aww.
These are so cool.
These are the sorts of words that we need.
Yeah. I think we should just take a lot of the German words that are just really long and hard to say.
I, for some reason, and I don't, I mean, I like that it's happened, but I don't know how it happened, but I get a lot of, like, not German TikTok recommendations, but I get a lot of German language TikTok recommendations. So it's always, like, people who have moved to Germany and... Oh, there's one guy in particular who's really good. And I find myself, like, I see so many of them now that I find myself being like, yeah, it is like that. And I'm like, I've never lived in Germany. Why do I know this? Like the other day, one of my lovely mods is German and I had gone out and it was slightly cold. So I put on a little scarf and I sent her a picture being like, wearing my little scarf today, very German.
Very
she was
German.
Like, ah. She was like, you need gloves as well. It's like, oh, true.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. There is a word for people that don't deal with the cold very well. But I don't know. Hang on. Somebody very sensitive to the cold is a Spanish word, friolero. There you go.
Ah.
But I don't know if there's a German word for it.
Probably.
I'm just going to learn all of these random catchphrases now.
Should just see if we can sneak them in casually to conversation throughout.
There's a French saying that translates to laughing into your beard, and it's just laughing at yourself. Like if you think of a funny memory and just chuckle, that's it. It's you laughing into your beard. I like that.
I think it's a French saying. One of my favorite ones is... it's like it's between the pears and the cheese, and it basically means it's off the record
sort of thing.
Because it was when they used to have like big banquets and there'd be the fruit course and then the cheese course. And I think that was when people, it's something about there being like a lot of time and there'd be drinking. And that's when people were most likely to start saying stuff that they shouldn't really say. And it's like, oh, don't tell anyone, blah, 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 blah. So it would be like, oh, it's between the pears and the cheese.
That's so cool. I like that. There's a word that applies to me as well in Japanese. It's called sundoku. And it's someone who, it's buying, the act of buying a book, leaving it unread, usually surrounded by a lot of other unread books.
See, I'm trying to get better at that.
I tried.
But I've got a bit worse recently, and I'll tell you who's to blame. It's Tim Downey. Because...
You can't say that. We want to get him on the podcast. You can't go, like, talking shit about him now.
But he started doing TikTok book recommendations, and I'm just, like, every book, I'm just like, yeah, I want to read that. Yep, that also sounds good. Yep. And I'm just, because I've already got all of, like, my reading list, and now it's like I've just stolen someone else's reading list and merged the two together, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, no.
But luckily I do already have some of the books that he's recommended. I've just not got around to reading them. So, like, the other day, I was in town, mm-hmm. and I was like, because I was buying stuff for my Halloween costume, and I literally said to myself, I was like, if you buy your costume on time before the shops close, you can go into the bookshop. It's like a treat for me that I'll go in. But then because I took slightly longer than I thought I would, I let myself go into Foils instead of Waterstones. If I go into Waterstones, I'm buying like 3 books. But our one in town, in Bristol, the Foils is quite small. So mm-hmm. their selection is quite small. So there's enough to look at, but I probably won't buy anything. So it was like, I treated myself to being around books without Aww. Buying any books.
Oh my God. That is some
I just love them.
Self-control you have there.
Oh, I, not, I, if I had I, gone I into just... Waterstones, I'm a beast. I can't help myself.
Oh my God. I'm terrible. I'm terrible. Well, like I bought the oh goodness, I can't even remember. I bought a book and I've forgotten already what it was because my memory's terrible. it's oh God, what is it? It's the series. They had a series recently. Rillian likes it. It's fantasy. It's literally in my bedroom. Fuck.
Wait, fantasy or sci-fi?
Fantasy.
Wheel of Time?
Yes. I bought the first Wheel of Time book a while ago. And I actually said to Riddhi, and I was like, I'm going to read it. I'm going to make, this is before I started taking my meds. So I was just like, probably going to fail, but I'm going to try and read this book and I'm going to report back to you on my progress. So if I report back to you, then it will make sure that I read it. And then I just haven't reported back to him and I've not read it. But he hasn't asked.
Don't have to read it if I don't report.
So I'll just blame Rhythian for that one.
I have mixed feelings about Wheel of Time because it's one of those books that I feel like people say like, oh, by the 7th book, it gets really good. And yeah. I'm like, that's a lot of reading to do.
That's a lot.
That's not great.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm just going to read the first book, see how I get on. I read like a couple of chapters, I think, like when I first, and it was so long ago now that I've kind of forgotten everything, but I just remember that yeah. I got a bit of an Eragon vibe, like an Inheritance Cycle vibe from it, which is probably not going to make Wheel of Time fans very happy, I guess.
Yeah.
But it reminded me a bit of Inheritance Cycle. It just seemed like a very similar setup, you know, for a story.
I'll tell you what. I think you should read. I'm gonna push Rhythian out
of the
way.
If you tell me, then I'll report back to you, and then I might actually read a book.
I can check in weekly right. on the podcast.
Ooh.
I think you should read The Priory of the Orange Tree by Samantha Shannon, because not only is it an amazing fantasy book, it is quite unique in that it is a solo story. It is not Ooh. Part of a series. And for me...
No pressure.
I read so many like, oh, this is the first of 17 books. And it yeah. has that thing of like, oh my gosh, that means, because either I'm going to read them and just have to read the others, or I read one, read like 5 different books and then be like, I forgot what happened. And now I feel like I have to read the first one again, sort of thing. So this being its own solo book,
mm-hmm.
I feel it's quite rare in fantasy that it's just all contained.
Yeah.
And it doesn't leave it on a big cliffhanger. Like, Ooh. Blooming Name of the Wind, where it's like Oh, I'll write this book. Yeah, 19 years later. Like, are you really doing it?
Oh my gosh. I really want to get back into reading more. I used to read like all the time. I mean, it was mainly like when I was, I don't know, early 20s, maybe even late teens. And I would just read like, you know, the usual shit. Like, I didn't read Twilight, but I read, like, I went when the Hunger Games film came out. I saw Hunger Games in the cinema and I was like, damn, this is pretty good. And I went and I just binged all of the books really quickly. And the thought of like doing that now, sitting down and just reading through them, like blitzing through, I mean, there are only three books, but like just blitzing through them, it's just like, why can't I do that anymore?
I think life just gets in the way. Like, I miss having like summer holidays, just taking books on holiday.
That's
and
the
having
thing.
Time to just read. I feel like I get reading guilt now. I'm like, oh, I should be doing
something else.
XYZ, yeah.
Yeah, like I that's the thing. I would always read my books when I went on holiday, like with my mom. Like, we used to go on, like, you know, just like holidays to like Spain and stuff, just sit by a pool for 2 weeks, and that's the perfect time to read a book, you know. And I would always take, like, I had Lord of the Rings was my holiday book, and I never read it while I was at home, but whenever I went on holiday, I'd take it and I'd carry on reading it, and I've just managed to sit through the whole book just reading it next to a pool somewhere. And but then as soon as I get home, it's like back on the shelf. Never
until
touch again.
Next year.
Until next time. But now I just don't go on holiday, so I just don't read any books.
Yeah. I set up a book club, which is very good for, because I was literally reading the same book for about 3 years. I was reading Oathbringer by Brandon Sanderson. And I made the mistake. I mean, a lot of people disagree with this, but I made the mistake of getting it in hardback. And essentially, if I get a book in hardback, I'm not going to read it. Something about it is like a stumbling block for me.
Really?
Like, the feel of holding it just feels,
I know,
weird.
What you mean. I love having hardback books, but yeah, I do kind of know what you mean. It's like
very,
it's less
like,
portable as well, isn't it? Like,
yeah, that's the thing, because I like having little, I keep thinking that the opposite of hardback is a softback, but I guess paperback.
I guess softback works, sort of.
A little soft book that
soft,
I can,
soft
I mean, I do abuse them. I shove them in my bag, but it means I can like whip them out on the bus, or if I've got like half an hour waiting in the office. Whereas if it's a hardback, I feel like, oh no, I must protect you and keep you in your fancy cover. And also just the feel of holding it, like Oathbringer was two books combined, and mm-hmm. it's so chunky that just actually holding the book, it was like its own little workout. So yeah, I got about 2/3 through and then it fell off. So when I got the book club and I was sort of forced to read, not forced to, I chose to, but I'd be reading like a different book every month, and it just got me back in the habit of it.
Mm.
And then
I've just looked, and there's another book by Samantha Shannon called A Day of Fallen Night, and it says that it's part of a series with Prior of the Orange Tree. Are they like self-contained?
Yeah. So Prior of the Orange Tree is self-contained, but that one came out only a couple months ago, but I think it's set like 500 years before.
Oh.
So it's part of the same like world, but they're sort of independent.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, I've read a lot of good books through the book club. Some not so good, but still just the act of reading.
I feel that.
Nice.
Like, we used to have a book club as well, like a few of us from my Discord, and I just was so bad. Like, even that didn't get me. Like, for the first couple of books, I did manage to get through. And God, there were some bad ones. But then it got to the point where I was like, oh God, I forgot to read the book. And I would do what I did in school, like, and go to bloody Spark Notes and be like, right, what happened? And it's just like, why am I in a book club if I have to Google what happened in the book?
Yeah.
So in the end, I was just like, I don't have time. I'm sorry. Oh, dear. The worst one that we read, though, is still kind of a meme between us. And it was, oh, bloody hell. The what was it called? What was it called? My memory's awful because I'm so tired. it was done by one of the guys who did Blackadder. Hang on, Blackadder.
Oh, Ben Elton.
Yes, Ben Elton.
Terrible book.
Terrible book. It was Time and Time Again by Ben Elton. Oh my God. That is the most awful, awful book I've ever read in my entire life. And I feel like I've probably talked about it on the podcast before, but it's so bad. it's just like you're reading it and you're just like, Jesus, like this is clearly written by some, like, I mean, obviously it's Ben Elton, but it's like, God, what a boomer. Like, I'm just, it's like phone bad. Yeah. I am man. I must find woman. I found woman. She's so womanly and she's breasting boobily.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
woman over there, she's ugly and she's a horrible old hag and she should die because she's ugly. And it's just like, ugh. And just the story itself was just so bad. It was terrible.
Yeah.
So, and there was one particular part in it where, you know, he finally gets to rendezvous with the mysterious Irish fiery-haired woman who's very fiery and not very womanly at all. Oh my God. And he just does a couple of paragraphs describing her pubes and it's just like,
what?
Okay. It's so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah.
And we all read it and it was just like, why? But it brought us all together.
That's true. I guess it's sort of like how Christmas cracker jokes are like purposefully bad because it's easier to bond people over, yeah, a shared dislike of a joke than a shared like of a,
exactly,
joke.
Exactly.
This is when I need the word for, what was the word earlier for a bad joke or whatever it was?
Jesus.
Yeah. That book. Jesus.
Jesus. Oh my goodness. I don't know if you guys didn't read that one in your book club, did you?
No.
No, no, no.
No. We just had some that were a little bit just a little bit like trashy.
Yeah.
They weren't necessarily bad, but we read some that I guess were like more young adult, and I guess sometimes it's a bit weird to read a story that's like, oh, I'm like 17, 18, and I'm just going out into the world, and oh my gosh, he's so handsome. Look at that, mm-hmm, handsome. Oh, how I swoon. And you're just a bit like, oh, this is weird, because essentially you're describing another child.
Yeah.
And it feels weird now.
Weird. Weird champ.
Which is why I only read, you know, sexy vampire novels, because they're a good like 400 years old. And
yeah, exactly.
It's fine.
You guys read NPCs, right?
Yeah, that one was good.
Yeah.
I wasn't particularly keen on the second one, Split the Party, because mm-hmm, when our book club got to its second year, we were like, oh, let's do a special thing where we read one of the sequels from the first year. And that one didn't have as much of the charm, but I would recommend NPCs. That was,
see,
that was a
we,
good
one. I recommended NPCs to the book club when I was still in it because a friend of mine had read it as well and said that I would like it. And that was towards the end when I was like, I don't have time to read books. So we got to NPCs, everyone read it. I didn't. And they all came and did their meeting and they were all just like, this is the worst book I've ever read in my life. Yeah, and they were like, thanks Kirsty for recommending this. It was terrible.
Recommending it and then walking out, leaving a bad smell.
Yep.
No, we liked it so much that during our book club discussion, we tried to contact the author and see,
really,
if he wanted to join the Discord.
Oh my God.
He did not respond. We sent him a photo of Jerry. And he never replied. So now we have this ongoing joke in the Discord how there's like a big rivalry between him and us.
That's fair. That's fair.
He hates
us. Bit rude,
us,
to be honest, not replying to a picture of Jerry. Oh my God.
New enemy made that day. I also, we read Mythos by Stephen Fry as one of our books.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what set off my, like, big love of Greek mythology. Like, why have you sent me a picture of Wither's ass? I'll try and power through the next sentence. That's what set off my love of Greek mythology, the book, not that. And then from then on, we tried to like branch away from it, but we kept on accidentally picking books that would somehow relate back. Like, I was like, I'm not doing this on purpose, honestly. Like, there was one who, I don't want to spoil it, so I won't say the book, but basically mm-hmm. it's about this character and she moves to a new town and she inherits a house. And then completely unrelated, like near the end of the book, she suddenly finds out that she is a descendant of, I think maybe like Circe or Hecate or something. And she, it's all these Greek mythology characters start coming in. Uh-huh. And it turns out that, you know, the gods are getting involved. And I was like, I did not do this on purpose. I had no idea. But they kept on sneaking their way back in there. But if anyone wants Greek mythology book recommendations, I can give those.
Brian is very good at those.
I love those. They're my wheelhouse. I keep on hearing this word wheelhouse, and I don't know where it comes from. I don't know
just
why.
Should I find out?
Yeah, they keep saying wheelhouse. It on wrestling. They're just like, oh, this is a move that's in his wheelhouse. And I'm like, what's a wheelhouse?
Part of a boat or a ship serving as the shelter for the person at the wheel. But it's also one's area of expertise. Where does the expression in my wheelhouse come from? In the late 1950s, baseball writers and announcers started to describe the area of a batter's strike zone where they have the most power as their wheelhouse.
Oh.
It's a baseball thing.
I mean, I guess, like, I guess that's where you have your most power on a ship, is in the steery bit.
On the wheel.
So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I guess it's just where you're good at what you do.
Yeah, although I'm not particularly, like, I have a love of it, but I'm not particularly good with Greek mythology, just because there's so many names.
I think you're so better than the average person at it.
It's because of all the time that I don't spend thinking about the Roman Empire.
True.
Put it slightly further
Greek,
back
Greek
instead.
Mythology instead. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't tell you anything about the Romans. Roads, viaducts, vasectomies.
Mosaics.
Mosaics.
Baths.
Yeah.
That's about it, right?
That's them. St. Albans.
St. Albans.
Is it Verulamium? Is that the
Yeah, the Verulamium. Verulamium. I remember I went there on a school trip when I was a kid and I bought an eraser.
Aww.
That was my takeaway from the Verulamium. I can't even remember what was there, but I bought an eraser.
I've been thinking about this recently. Not you buying erasers. But
I have to say eraser and not rubber because it's
for the American listeners.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about how much. So basically, I feel bad that I did get into Greek mythology so hard when I don't really know much local history. And I'd like to start reading more British folklore. And I have, luckily, a lot of Tim Downey's recommendations are all about British folklore. So I will start reading that sort of stuff. But I was thinking, like, I wonder why. And I reckon it's because I'm from a town that, I mean, it was founded in, what, like 1920?
Yeah, so, it's kind of a new town, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's such a little baby town. We don't really have any history. Like, a lot of the history... I mean, I've not lived there in 10 years, so a lot of the history was literally like living memory history yeah. for people when I lived there. So it's I guess we don't have any of that stuff.
Yeah. You haven't said what town it is, have you? So I won't name it. Unless you want to name it.
You can name it. It's Welland Garden City.
Welland
the town
Garden
that
City.
Many people think is made up because it sounds thus.
Yes. It's the one that everyone knows as a garden city when Letchworth actually came first.
Yeah, but Wellen's better.
Yeah, Letchworth sucks.
Letchworth, though, has the UK's first roundabout in it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's got a little sign on it that says the first roundabout in the UK.
Well, Welling Garden has a roundabout that's actually a semicircle.
Wow. So,
who's doing it better? Oh my gosh, it's been half an hour and we've not even talked about a dream yet. Yeah. Should we listen to a dream?
If you want. I mean, I'm happy just chatting. I don't care.
The supposed dream podcast.
Yeah. We could have a little cheeky listen if you like.
Well,
folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season or arc has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you around the table.
Well, I'm a bit scared about this one because this recording is 5 minutes long.
Do you
and I have
what
no memory
at all?
Of it.
Oh, okay.
So
good
I
luck.
Apologize for how rambly this must be. Because I can't imagine I was woke up and was succinct for 5 minutes. Maybe I have a nap in the middle of it. Let's find out.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
I had this dream that started after I walked in and Alex was giving the bunnies medicine and I was like, no, I've already done that medicine. I was like, which medicine did you do? And he was like, oh, this one. I was like, no, they're going to have had too much. And I was sort of panicking about that. But then I was in what was meant to be the office. And it was just like this canteen. And I was talking to Lewis in this little booth. And Lewis was wearing like this baby blue, like a hoodie onesie. And I was like, oh my gosh, you look so cozy in there. And then I was like, are you cozy? And I started trying to like reach inside it. And he was like, what are you doing? I was just reaching inside, like sticking my hand down the front of it, like, yes, it is quite cozy. And then someone was watching wrestling and I was like, oh, I've not seen this thing. So I started just watching the wrestling and I turned around and Simon was there. And he was sat on this like big chair surrounded by presents, I think, like a shopping mall Santa Claus. But he was drinking straight from this carton. And then, he was wearing, I think he must have been wearing like an orange top. And then Tom walked by and he was wearing a green top. And I was like, oh my gosh, look, it's you. Because on the TV were like two wrestlers who were presenting and they were wearing orange and green. But then Simon came down to like the level I was on and he was drinking in the garden was like this pure white liquid. And I was like, Simon, are you drinking PVA glue? Then I looked and on the back it said something like, ingredient 70% milk. And I was like, okay. He was like, no, it's milk. That's all I remember of that part. Because then I was walking with Alex and maybe Kirsty. And we saw this house and it had like four cars parked on the drive. We were like, oh, this house is so lovely. Look at this thing on this gate, I think it was, or the fence. And we went over to have like a closer look. And then when the cars started moving, we were like, oh my gosh, these cars are actually full of people. And it turned out that the house was like a refuge house, but it was having to be cleared out. So they were just taking all these people somewhere else. And one of the ladies in the cars was like, is everything okay? And I was just like, yeah, we're just saying, what a lovely house you have. And this other lady who was like organizing where the cars were going, she stayed behind and she was like, oh, well, you remember it from... I suddenly got this memory that I don't know if it was a previous dream, but I volunteered. I'd like done an induction day to volunteer to be like working in this house and then never done any days there. And I was like, oh, what sort of organization is this? And she was like, well, you know, from this time to this time, we do this to this, we do this. And then if you're on this duty, you do this. She was like, have you never been on this duty? And I was like, oh no, she recognizes me. And then we were just walking along together. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll walk home. But then I don't know, I think I got an odd impression from her. And I was like, I don't want her to know where I live. So I'm just going to pretend to walk off in a different way and try to lose her. And I walked past my sister who was carrying a frying pan down the road. And she sort of like caught me at the corner of her eye and she was like, ah. And then we turned around and she was obviously like, oh, I get the same vibe. So I have to pretend that wasn't like a recognition. And she was like, ah, yes, the frying pan. And I carried on walking. And we were at like the bottom of the road to my parents' house. And I was walking up the road and I was thinking like, what can I do to lose her? But yeah, then I woke up. The end. Bye bye.
Bloody hell.
Well, there you go.
That was
two dreams in one.
A lot of cameos in that one.
There was.
So many people.
You maybe were there.
Maybe.
A woman.
Can't remember. Maybe Kirsty. Sure. One woman.
I mean, I'm guessing the first part of it must just be Jingle Jam, right?
It's got to be, right?
Yeah. Simon surrounded by presents. Lewis as Santa. In a onesie. it's Jingle Jam.
Jingle Jam.
I just love the fact that I was just trying to get in. I was like, you look cozy in there, Lewis. Shame if I were to climb into that onesie. Shame if you were to have someone's hand stuck in there.
Oh my god.
Still cozy.
I can't believe how close Jingle Jam is.
Yeah.
This year has just flown by. It's crazy.
It do be like that.
It do be like that.
November's a weird month. Because, like, I feel like October, because of the, obviously, like, Samhain Halloween being at the very end of October, I feel like you get all of the build-up of October. And then all of a sudden it's just like, it's like going up a roller coaster and then November is just when you start plummeting. You're just like, wee, Christmas. Okay, year's done. Get out.
For me this month, like November's the calm before the storm or the calm in between the storm because October was so busy.
Yeah.
And December's going to be so busy. And now I'm just like, thank God it's October. Thank God it's November. It's just nice and chill. I don't have to worry
like,
about
for
anything.
Me, it's sort of the opposite because I'm like, I want to do a Jingle Cats, got to do it in November. I want to do Secret Santa, got to plan it in November. We want to have Comfort Zone, better record it in November. See, it feels like November is the like get it done month. So
I also
you
have all of
December
that
off.
As well, but I'm kind of just pretending that they're not the things I have to do. So we want to record more Comfort Zones. I want to make Christmas presents for people. I need to think about Christmas presents for family and stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
And I need to get merch in order as well. And I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do that. Now you've made me think about all the things I have to do. Bryony.
Welcome to November anxiety.
I hate it.
Get
oh
on
my
level.
God. When can I have a rest?
That week between Christmas and New Year's where no one knows who they are or what's happening. The perineum of the year.
The taint.
That's when we rest and eat and sleep. And true. Only those things.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Oh, my gosh. Oh, bloody hell. Why did your sister have a frying pan?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
Because it was weird. It's like, so I was walking up the road to my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been thinking about this recently. I think, were we talking about this recently, actually? How, maybe it's with Boof, where we were saying that we, like, most of my dreams will be in my parents' house. I only remember one dream that's actually in this house that I actually live in. Mm-hmm. And it was, I guess it's like formative years where they were spent more than where you are.
It. Mine are always in my parents' house as well. Either my parents' house or like old houses that I've lived in. So like I used to live in a pub in Hitchin and I often dream about that as well.
Yeah.
Quite a lot. Or they sort of blend together in my brain.
I was like walking home to my parents' house and I remember thinking like, oh, we're going to get there soon. And if I'm going to try and like lose this person, maybe I'll pretend like I'll just turn off the turning before and be like, oh, let's just go down here. And oh, I'll see you later. Here I am, sort of thing. But yeah, I don't know why my sister walked by with a frying pan. What would a frying pan represent? Cooking, but also a weapon? PUBG style?
Yeah, like a frying pan.
My sister was in my dream last night as well, but that was a very short and sweet dream where basically she was going out with one of my friend's dads, and I was saying to my friend, if they get married, I will be your auntie. I just woke up like, oh,
okay.
That's technically true, I guess.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Yeah.
But I think that was because, so my niece has a phone now, and she sent me a picture on WhatsApp of her Halloween costume, and she was a little angel. Well, she is a little angel.
Aww.
And then this friend whose Halloween costume I saw on Be Real, he was like wearing a very like piratey top that was also quite like white and billowy. So I think the two of them just merged in my head.
Yeah.
And I think that's why my brain just went, do you know, I went to use a word then, and then I realized the word doesn't exist. So this goes back to what we were talking about before.
Well, we are making up words today, so feel free.
There needs to be a word for nieces and nephews.
Nibblings. That's what I call them.
Ah.
Yeah, a lot of people call them nibblings. It's like the unofficial term.
I guess because it's like niece-nephew-sibling amalgamation. Yeah. I think
it's one of those words that like middle-aged women use, like, you know,
like us.
Like us. Like holly bobs. I was going to say like holly bobs, and I'm like, oh no, Brandy says that. I'm like,
Well, no, the thing is, I only use that because a friend of mine once sent me a message being like, I saw this thing and it made me think of something, the sort of thing you would say. And it was a thing that said holly bobs. And then I opened the link and all of the comments underneath were like,
I hate the word holly bobs.
People who say holly bobs. Only the worst sort of person would ever. And I was just like, why did you think I would say that? So now I say it because I
you make an effort
know
to
it's
say
seen
it
as awful.
To annoy people. It's like there was a woman I used to work with who would do it too. And everyone was like, I hate it so much.
It's like how now it comes naturally to me to say jalapenos because I had a friend who hated that. So I'd be like, oh, are those jalapenos on that pizza?
Jalapenos?
Are you going to have jalapenos? And now I'm like, I genuinely have to think before I actually say the word because I'm like, don't say jalapenos.
Oh my God.
They say bolognese.
Bolognese.
Peschetti bolognese, thank you. With extra jalapenos.
But yeah, no. What was the original word we were talking about?
Nibblings. So yeah, nibblings, I guess I combined the two of them and was just like, my nibblings. So yeah.
It's actually on Merriam-Webster.com. It's actually a word on the dictionary.
Ah.
A nibbling is a gender-neutral term used to refer to a child of one sibling as a replacement for niece or nephew.
is there like a version for aunts and uncles?
Collective word for aunts and uncles. There should be.
Parental siblings.
Avunculi.
Avunculi?
Avunculi? What? Oh. That makes it sound like a bacteria.
Are you visiting the avunculi this holiday season?
What?
Gather the avunculi. Oh my gosh.
My avunculi include my parents' siblings as well as my grandparents' and great-grandparents' siblings, etc. Derived from the Latin word avunculus, meaning uncle. It takes the plural form, but is different from the regular plural for uncle in Latin. However, it is similar and consistent with the use of alumni as plural of alumnus, which applies to men and women.
See, this is something that I feel is, again, quite lacking in English, which other countries and languages do a lot better. Because I know in, like, Swedish, you'll have different names for, like, an uncle on your mum's side and a uncle or an auntie on your dad's side, as well as like,
oh right,
I think with grandparents as well. It's something like I can't remember the actual words, sorry Sweden, but it's in like Mossfar or something is like your mother's father sort
That's
of thing.
Cool.
And it just makes more sense. And I know with like Malaysian as well, I think that goes into, I think there's even more detail when it will be like your first uncle on your mother's side and stuff. So there's like a real, everyone will know exactly who you're referring to, sort of thing. Whereas we have like my uncle, and it's like, are they a blood relative? Are they on which side? I don't know. They're all just uncles.
Apparently, pibbling is also a thing, but I feel like that
parental
doesn't work.
Sibling.
Yeah, but the thing is, like nibbling, sibling, pibbling. It makes you think of children, right? So if you talk about your aunts and uncles as your pibblings, it's like, it makes them sound like you're going to visit, I don't know, like your nieces and nephews, like kids, you know?
Yeah.
Piblings. I'm going to call them my avunculi.
Yes. That's what I'm putting in my Christmas cards.
Dear avunculi.
Oh, dear.
That's so weird. Oh, we're running out of time, but I had a dream the other day. I didn't record it, but would you like to hear what I remember? I don't remember a lot, which is why I didn't record it. But all I know is there were two different parts of this dream. The first part was that I was in some sort of Final Fantasy game, I think. It wasn't really. My brain was just like, you're in Final Fantasy. And it was like in a big ocean, and there was a big hole in the middle of the ocean, like, and all the water was like cascading down, and at the bottom of this hole was a giant gooboo. Do you remember the gooboos from Final Fantasy 14?
Yeah,
gooboo, like the big boys with the lovely little bumps.
Yeah.
And they're my favorites. I love gooboos. So there was a giant gooboo, and he was like the boss at the bottom of this big hole, and me and like other members of the party were at the top on some sort of building at like sea level, and we had to like parkour around the terrain, and sort of like there were like little ledges that we had to climb on, like Assassin's Creed style. And then I finally got to the end of it, and I had to jump into the big hole. So I did a big jump, and me and like the rest of the party were falling down into this big hole, and I managed to land in the water, and most of the others managed to land in the water. But there were rocks at the bottom of the hole as well. So two of them ended up landing on the rocks. And the first one, I think, was probably like one of the male Final Fantasy protagonists. So like Cloud, for instance, landed on the rock, and it's like, oh, he's dead. Rest in peace, Cloud. And then the second one to land on the rock was Squall from Final Fantasy VIII, which is the one I'd played with Rhythian recently. And I was like, oh no, Squall's dead too. But then he stood up, and it was like, oh no, but it's the end of the game. It's a happy ending. He's alive. Yay. And that was it.
Oh.
But then there was another part of the dream, which was completely separate, where I was in my bedroom, and my mum was, for some reason, making me look after a bunch of kittens and a bunch of little baby piggies. And like, she just kept putting them in my room. And I was just like, for God's sake, these aren't my responsibility. Please stop leaving them in my room. And I came out of my room. This was in my parents' old house, obviously. And my sister was sitting on the staircase. Like, the way the landing was in this house, it was like you go up the stairs and the landing was just a square. And on the left was a door. In front of you was a door. On the right was a door. And the one directly in front of you was my bedroom. So I came out of that looking at the stairs. My sister was sitting there and she had a glass of wine and she was really aggro and she was just laughing as she turned the glass of wine upside down and just let it spill on the carpet and just left it there upside down. I was just like, wow, that's really not cool. And I was like, Mum, have you seen what she's doing? Like, she's just like stained the whole carpet with red wine. And my mum didn't really react. And I was just like, okay, this is weird. And then I just had a full blown like anime fist fight with my sister on the stairs because she was so horrible.
Oh my gosh. And
then when I went downstairs after our lovely fight, the cats were all down there, the ones that were in my bedroom, but they'd found weapons. So they had just like little guns. And one of the little baby ones came up to me with a tiny knife. And I was just like, good for you. Good for you. And we were all just laughing because it was like, they found little guns. Look how cute they are. And so they were just cats running around with weapons. And they were holding them with their tails.
Aww.
And that was it. So, yeah.
Well, this is sort of fitting for both of us then. Because I thought, well, I'll look up sister and see what that could mean. So is yours an older or younger sister?
Older, yeah. All of my sisters
okay, so
are
this
older.
Is fitting for both of us. So in general family, it says the family is the first basic security image that a child has. Often through circumstances not within that child's control, that image becomes distorted and dreams will either attempt to put this image right or will confirm the distortion.
Oh.
So I was thinking the first basic security image, I guess in my dream, I was a bit scared and I thought of my sister there with a weapon. So that makes sense. You are fighting your sister, so I don't know what that means. You're fighting security.
That makes sense.
Sister, it says, the sister in dreams usually represents the feeling side of ourselves. We have the ability to make links with that side of ourselves through being able to understand our sister's personality. So is there something about, do you have a similarity with your sister?
My sister's a big bitch.
Very similar.
So yeah, we're very similar.
I mean, me and my sister.
I don't think I would do that with the wine, though. That was just out of order.
Yeah, because then you've got to also pour white wine all over it to balance it out.
Yeah, to balance it, make it a nice rosé carpet, you know.
But for me, it says, if older, the sister stands for capability. So I guess I saw my sister with a frying pan because, to be honest, if I was going to choose a weapon, it's most likely to be, you know, I'm not like a cowboy or or a samurai. I'm a Samwise, and I would
get that
hit something
pan.
With a pan.
Yeah, that makes sense. If you had to grab a weapon right now, like if someone busted into the room, what would you grab?
I mean, I'm on my computer, so I guess I don't have a frying pan here.
True.
What do I have around me? Like a little stone rabbit model that is a candle holder. I'd probably grab that.
I have a glass bottle and a craft knife. One's getting by me.
You're a lot more prepared than
I'll,
I am.
I'll smash the bottle on the table and just like have like a shiv. I'll be ready.
Maybe I should start keeping a frying pan upstairs in the room.
Yeah, maybe. Or just offer them some of your desk biscuits and they'll back down.
Oh, I do have chocolate balls on my desk.
Oh,
I could offer them some chocolate balls. They're meant to be like a vegan version of a Lindor. But I've not tried them yet.
Ooh, let me know. I love Lindt. Lindt is so good.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they stand out. I had The company is called Mummy Meegs. And they also do like a vegan version of Freddo's called Billy. A Billy bar.
Billy bar.
But I've never had a Freddo, so I can't compare. Is he a frog? It was nice.
Freddo's just frog-shaped. Like, have you had dairy milk?
Yeah. Chocolate.
Yeah, Freddo's just dairy milk.
Oh, okay. But Billy was nice. I enjoyed Billy.
That's good.
But yeah, I guess it's interesting that it was a frying pan, because I guess maybe that's capability in that I would stand up for myself, but also I like cooking. So
yeah, that makes sense. So I love that we both dreamt about sisters and weapons.
Yeah. That's yours cool. were... Slightly feistier weapons, I feel.
They were. But they were wielded by kittens, so it's okay.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do anything bad.
My sister could beat me up, so she's very strong.
I think I'd beat my siblings in a fight. Maybe not my brothers, though. But my sisters, yeah, I'd kick their butts.
My sister would win, hands down. We're very opposite. We get along very well, but she's very sporty and I am not.
Yeah, that's the thing with my brothers. Like my older brother, like, he lifts, and it's like, yeah, he's very big. I would not be able to fight him.
Yeah. Whereas I genuinely, like, I use a kettlebell like every day, but it's to hold the kitchen door open. Because the cute bunny doorstop we bought was not heavy enough. So the kettlebell does it. So occasionally I lift it, but
yeah, just
to close
move
the
it
door.
Slightly. Yeah. Fair.
That's my workout.
Oh, dear.
Well,
there we go.
On that note. thank you so much, Kirsty, for a lovely
chat.
Thank
you. It has been a lovely chat. I just want to keep chatting.
Yeah, do an extended episode. Or we just stop and then start and record, you know, another week.
Another one.
Though I have no dreams, so I have to go and do my homework
now. Yeah, that's true. We've run out of dreams now, so we're just going to have to stop.
Just have a nap and then come back and do another episode.
And then reconvene. Lovely.
Yeah. Or do a live nap episode. Just record the honkshu and the mimi.
And the mimis.
Well, thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you so much. Thank you everybody. And we'll see you next time.
Until next time. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.